Jaya Radha Madhava Kunda Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunda Bihari. Gopidana Madhava Kirivarra Gove Gopidana Madhava Kirivarra Gove Yasoda Nandana Braja Janananda Huna Yasoda Nandana Braja Janananda Huna Tera Vanachare Yamana te brahmana chare Jai hurad umadhava kunyabihare Jai hurad Madhova Kunya Bihari Gopi Jana Balaba Kirivaru Thakure Gopidana Ballabha Kirivaru Thakure Yasoda Nandana Raja Janaranjana Yasoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tera Vana Chalde Yamuna Tera Vana Chalde Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Bihari Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Parvati Kacharya All Sutata Satashi Shimad His Divine Grace Abaya Chananada Bhaktivananda Gosami Srila Prabhupada Kijai ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Kijai Anantakoti Vaishnav Vrindi Kijai Namacharya Srila Bhidas Thakur Kijai Ram Say Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sivaita Gadadha Shiva Sarigo Bhakta Vrindika Jai Shishi Radhakrishna Gopigopinath Sayam Kun Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavanam Kijai Maturidam Kijai Jagadathasami Kijai Yamunamai Kijai Shrimati Lasi Devi Kijai Samaveda Bhakta Vrindika Jai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bol. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharani Nivashesha Shunyavadi Pascha Chaitanya Satarani. So today we're reading from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 38th chapter, text 6. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Mamadhyā mangalam nashtam palavams chaiva me bhavaha yan Namaste Bhagavato Yogi Jayangri Pankajam Mamadya Mangalam Nashtam Palavams Chaiva Meva Bhaka Yannamashe Bhagavato Yogi Jayangri Pankacham Mamadya Mangalam Nashtahum Palavams Chaiva Mebabaha Yannamashe Bhagavato Yogi Jayangri Pankajam Mamadya Mangalam Nashtam Palavams Chaiva Mebabaha Yannamashe Bhagavato Yogi Jayangri Pankajam.
Thank you.
Mama, my. Adya, today. Amangalam, inauspicious sinful reactions. Nashtam, eradicated. Palavan, fruitful. Cha, and. Eva, indeed. May, my. Vavaha, birth. Yat, since. Namaste, I am going to offer obeisances. Bhagavataha, of the Supreme Lord. Yogi Jaya, meditated upon by yogis. Angri, to the feet. Pongajam, lotus-like. Translation, today all my sinful reactions have been eradicated, and my birth has become worthwhile, since I will offer my obeisances to the Supreme Lord's lotus feet, which mystic yogis meditate upon. So you can repeat. Hold on a second. Today all my sinful reactions have been eradicated, and my birth has become worthwhile, since I will offer my obeisances to the Supreme Lord's lotus feet, which mystic yogis meditate upon. All right, so there's no commentary by the servants of Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, and so we're going to read the commentaries by the Acharyas, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, Jiva Goswami, and Sanatana Goswami. So Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur states, becoming more certain, he spoke with confidence. Very short commentary. Srila Jiva Goswami speaks. He speaks with pride, garva, another sanchari bhava, and certainty. All his obstacles will be destroyed by seeing the Lord, because by the Lord's appearing and the strength of his mercy, he will directly offer respects to the lotus feet of the Lord. Though even the yogis can just meditate on those feet without directly seeing them. And those are the feet of the Lord who reveals unlimited powers, Bhagavata Krishna. And finally, Sanatana Goswami. My low status has been removed today by the Lord's great mercy. My bad karma, amangalam, has been removed today. I will offer my respects to the Lord, whose lotus feet are the object of meditation for persons desiring liberation. I will directly offer respects to those feet. This displays the Lord's unlimited power. Though foot is in the singular, it implies both feet, since they are always together. Or the singular indicates his bowing down slightly. By that, his whole inauspicious existence has been destroyed. Mamadya mangalam nashtam palam vams jaiva meva vakha yan namashe bhagavato yogi jayang gripangajam. So, Om Ganati Mirandasha. Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshur Unmiritam Yena Tezbai Shigadaveda Bahab. First, I'm going to read Prabhupada's own statement in the Krishna book, which is pretty much the same thing as this translation, just to see or show that Prabhupada wasn't consistent with the verses in the Krishna book. He was confident that on this day all the sinful reactions of his past life would be finished and his fortunate human form of life would be successful. So here we see the sanchari bhava, his confidence, which is pride. And generally, pride is not something that we are interested in this world. In fact, we learn from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Shikshashtika that if one really wants to chant the Lord's holy names constantly, one has to become devoid of pride. And generally, Krishna, not generally, but always, Krishna removes the pride from his devotees, and there's many pastimes in which Krishna actually did this, and I'm going to recite some of the pastimes and talk about some of the pastimes. And then we're going to talk about spiritual pride, how this is not something mundane. So there's many, many stories from the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Chaitanya Charitamrita about Krishna removing the pride. The first story we're going to talk about is Lord Brahma's pride and thinking he could do something to Krishna or testing Krishna by stealing the calves and the coward boys from Krishna. And then, of course, he felt a little repentant after a few moments, and his few moments was, or moment, was like a whole year on the Earth planet. And then he came back, and what did he see? He saw Krishna with the same coward boys and the same calves. And he was thinking, I put them all in a cave. You know, what happened? And then he looked again. And then he saw all these coward boys and the calves, what? They had four arms. A Vishnu form. Oh my God. Of course, Krishna accomplishes many things with one particular pastime. I mean, that's one of the things that Krishna accomplished. But there's also some esoteric things that Krishna accomplished during that particular pastime. So you see that there's esoteric and exoteric reasons for every pastime, and probably unlimited reasons that we don't even know about. And of course, the esoteric reason was that during that year, the coward boys got married to the coward girls, or the gopis. Now, of course, sometimes people criticize that about these childhood marriages or even babyhood marriages. Like we find that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he got married and his wife was like something like 6 years old or something like that. But something like six or 8 years old. But there's no question of living together. There's actually a reason for that. And the reason for that is that when people get older, they won't be thinking, looking for a wife. They'll understand, this is my wife. And when they get old enough, 18, 19, whatever, 20, then they can live. So anyway, so in Vrindavan, they had these marriages between the coward boys and the coward girls, which are the gopis. And so during that year, those coward boys were actually Krishna. So Krishna married the gopis. So there was no question. And plus, later on, when the gopis got older and they were living with their husbands never even touched them, basically. So that's the first story. Then there's a story from the Chaitanya Charitamrita about one of the devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who was slightly proud of his brahminical status. One of the, you know, so his name was Prajuna Mishra. Prajuna Mishra was from a very high-class brahminical family. And so we went to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to try to hear from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu about the esoteric topics, specifically the topics that were discussed between him and Ramananda Roy in Vijayanagara, along the banks of the Godavari River. And what happened is that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you know, whatever I know because of Ramananda Roy. Now, Ramananda Roy was from a Shudra caste. And so this was a little unusual because Prajuna Mishra wanted to take instruction from Lord Chaitanya. So then Prajuna Mishra was sent to Ramananda Roy, and then he actually heard how Ramananda Roy was engaged in activities that were just unbelievable as far as he was concerned, which was teaching the Deva Dasis, I usually pronounce that wrong, Devadasis had a dance and dressing them and touching them and everything like that. And he went back to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So many of his different concepts had been basically destroyed by that particular material concepts, had been destroyed by his interactions with Lord Chaitanya and hearing about Ramananda Roy. Then Ramananda Roy, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described Ramananda Roy's exalted position. He says, you know, he's not identifying at all with the material body. And so he found that Prajuna Mishra was, to a certain extent, identifying himself as a Brahmin, whereas, you know, you contrast these two things, whereas Ramananda Roy was in ostensibly a male body, but he was actually identifying himself as a servant, a female servant of the gopis. Of course, Ramananda Roy is Vishaka, according to the Gauradhana Dashtipika of Kapikarnapur. And so Prajuna Mishra became humble and listened to Ramananda Roy. So that's another story of a devotee being humbled and having his pride taken away. And then another story from the Srimad Bhagavatam that we read previously was the story of the ritualistic brahmanas. The ritualistic brahmanas, Hare Krishna, please come in. The ritualistic brahmanas were performing a sacrifice, and at the same time, Krishna and the coward boys, they were hungry, so Krishna sent the coward boys to... Maybe it's not the best idea, anyway. So Krishna sent the coward boys to ask for some food in the name of Balaram from the ritualistic brahmanas, and the ritualistic brahmanas ignored and very proud of their brahminical status. Very, very proud of their brahminical status. Okay, hopefully they'll be quiet. And so then Krishna, when he heard that the ritualistic brahmanas were refusing to give anything or even pay attention to the coward boys, he sent the boys back to ask for some food from the wives of the brahmanas. And then the wives of the brahmanas ignored their husbands and came and brought the food, and their husbands were really upset about the whole thing, and where are you going? But then, when the wives went back, because Krishna assured the wives that their husbands wouldn't be angry, but the husbands actually became humbled. And they actually said things like, the hell with us being brahmanas, the hell with our caste. And they still didn't have the courage to go to see Krishna because they were afraid of Kamsa. So that's another story of false pride being chopped down. Let me just tell one or two more stories and then we'll get to what I want to talk about, spiritual pride. There's the story of Balabhata in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Anyway. So, gracias a Dios. So there's the story of Balabhata. And Balabhata, he was criticizing Sridhar Swami. He wanted to present his own commentary of the Srimad Bhagavatam to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he said, I have basically found some fault in the commentaries of Sridhar Swami. And then Lord Chaitanya called him a prostitute, understanding that Swami sometimes means husband, it means master. And so his pride was cut down, and eventually he surrendered to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was given permission to take initiation from Gadadhar Pandit Goswami. Actually, one more story. Another story about from the Chaitanya Charitamrita is the story of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu talking to the Tattvavadas, the followers of Shripad Madhvacharya, who were very much into their ritualistic understanding of Varnashram. You know, they considered Varnashram to be the most important thing. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discuss the whole topic with them. And eventually, they realized, they said, well, we just follow this because this is, you know, what we're supposed to do as members of the Madhvacharya Tattvavada Sampradaya. And they actually became very humble in that regard. So, and for most of us, when we develop pride, Krishna pulls the rug out from under us. It's an interesting verse. Yashaham anagrinami hrishye tadanam chanai. For those who I especially favor, I take things away, because what are we proud of? We're proud of our learning, janmaishvarya, shudasya shribir, edamana adalpuman, as Queen Kunti states. We're proud of our birth. We're proud of our strength. We're proud of our opulence. We're proud of so many different things, and Krishna actually takes these things away to bring us to the point of chanting purely. So that's, we're talking about material pride, how Krishna removes that. But there is spiritual pride, and I have some quotes here about spiritual pride here. In the Nectar of Devotion, Prabhupada talks about pride, which is in relationship to this particular verse, and I get some bugs here from the nice garland. Pride as one of the ecstatic emotions, or I don't remember which chapter which it is. It talks about the Sanchari Bhavas or the Vyabhachari Bhavas. Expressions of ecstatic love and pride may be the result of excessive wealth, exquisite beauty, a first-class residence, or the attainment of one's ideal goal. Now, this is in pride, ecstatic love and pride. It's not talking about material things. Of course, materially, we may become proud of excessive wealth, exquisite beauty, you know, our house, first-class residence, or attainment of some material goal. But in relationship to Krishna, this sometimes occurs as a spiritual ecstatic symptom. One is also considered proud when he does not care about the neglect of others. Bilva Mangal Thakur, here's an example of Bilva Mangal Thakur's pride. My dear Krishna, you are leaving me, forcibly getting out of my clutches, but I shall be impressed by your strength only when you can forcibly go from the core of my heart. So he's proud of his devotion. He says, Krishna, you know, my devotion is conquering you. Basically, you won't be able to go from the core of my heart. This is an instance of feeling pride and ecstatic love of Krishna. Once during the Rasa dance, when Radharani left the arena, and Krishna went to seek her out, one of the dear friends of Radharani addressed Krishna thus, my dear Krishna, you become very much obliging in serving the form of our Srimati Radharani, and now you have left all the other gopis to search for her. Please allow me to inquire how you want her to treat you. This is an instance of feeling pride on account of exquisite beauty. Of course, the beauty of Radharani. Sometimes Radharani felt pride within herself and said, although the coward boys prepare nice flower garlands for Krishna, when I present my garland to him, he becomes struck with wonder and immediately accepts it and puts it on his heart. Similarly, in the 10th canto, 2nd chapter, verse 33 of Bhagavatam, Lord Brahma says, my dear Madhusudana, persons who are pure devotees of your lordship actually feel your ecstatic friendship, and as such, they are never vanquished by enemies. They know they are always protected by you, and so they can matter-of-factly pass over the heads of their enemies without any care. In other words, one who has taken complete shelter under the lotus feet of the Lord is always proud of being able to conquer all enemies. And finally, one weaver at Mathura addressed Krishna in this way, my dear King of Vrindavan, I have become so proud of your causeless mercy upon me that I do not even count upon the mercy of the Lord of Vaikuntha, which is sought after by many great sages in deep meditation. In other words, although the gopis and great sages in meditation upon Lord Vishnu, who is residing in Vaikuntha, a devotee of Krishna, is so proud that he does not consider such meditation to be very valuable. This feeling of pride is due to one's having achieved the highest goal of life, Krishna. And here's a statement from the Dhanakele Komudi, number 2, of Srila Rupa Goswami. All glories to Radha's love for Krishna, the enemy of the demon Mura. Although it is all-pervading, it tends to increase at every moment. And here's a contradictory statement. Although it is important, it is devoid of pride. Although it is pure, it is always beset with duplicity. So that's very interesting. You know, you have Radharani, the pride, and it's devoid of pride. You know, so you have this apparent contradiction there. So the point is that her exhibition of pride, just like her exhibition of man, we were talking about this last night in class, is to please Krishna. That's the difference between the material pride and the spiritual pride. The spiritual pride is manifest because Krishna will be pleased, like we were talking about anger, man, last night. So man, it's described that as soon as she manifests her man, she easily gives it up right away because it's done to please Krishna. Whereas in the material world, the man or the anger festers in one's heart for a long time, and maybe one's whole lifetime, isn't it? When you have this anger towards someone, I mean, sometimes people don't speak to each other for days or weeks or whatever, or years. You know, it's just like you take Bhimsen's anger. Of course, this is Krishna's pastimes. He was like a trampled snake, and he was always ready, insofar as his relationship with Duryodhana, always ready to attack Duryodhana. So, but in the spiritual world, the anger, the pride, is not actually in the same... actually the same type of pride that we experience in this world. So we have to be very careful not to project our mundane understanding. Another quote. Srimati Radharani's bedstead is pride itself and is situated in the abode of her bodily aroma. She is always seated there thinking of Krishna's association. So I have quite a few more quotes, but I just wanted to mention, I have some quotes about how devotees, even ourselves, can be prideful. Oh, actually, I just want to mention one other instance of pride that I noted down, which is the pride of Lakshmi. You know, that was the story during the Rath Yatra. After 5 days after the Rath Yatra, Lakshmi is seeing that her husband has not come back. And so what she does is she attacks with her pride the associates of Lord Jagannath. And Lord Chaitanya is amazed at seeing this pride of Lakshmi. But this pride of Lakshmi, try to understand, is actually meant, and the envy, the apparent envy that's being manifest, is actually meant to give pleasure to the Lord. This is the point I'm making. So here's some instances where we can experience pride in this world, and basically we're not completely on the spiritual platform, but still it's all right to have this pride. Prabhupada says in the CC, there's no difference between the spiritual master's instructions and the spiritual master himself. In his absence, therefore, his words of direction should be the pride of the disciple. Now, of course, one has to be careful about that, especially nowadays that we have so many quotes from Srila Prabhupada, because one can take a specific quote out of context and pridefully try to push his own agenda, his own understanding. We see this sometimes, that people do that. And so that is false ego. But real ego would be that we have the instructions of Prabhupada, and I'm trying my best to follow the instructions of Srila Prabhupada, and that a devotee can be proud of that. Here's another quote from Prabhupada from the CC. To be empowered to write transcendental literature is a privilege in which a writer can take great pride. It's interesting. A writer can take great pride. And you see that because the writer understands that Krishna is speaking through him. Just like I was listening to a memory, Sri Tirthi was speaking, and he was saying that Prabhupada would just listen to his own books and read his... Sometimes he'd go into Srila Prabhupada's room and find Srila Prabhupada reading his books. And Prabhupada was so proud because he understood it was Krishna speaking through him. Prabhupada said, well, he was chastising Sri Tirthi because Sri Tirthi wasn't reading his books. He said, you could just read one page of this book and you will be Krishna conscious. And then Prabhupada said one sentence in one word, and then you'll be Krishna conscious. So, you know, you find some pride because Prabhupada understands not that it was coming from him, but the words were coming from Krishna. I remember being with Prabhupada and New Vrindavan during the year of the Bhagavad Dharma discourses, and Prabhupada was listening to Krishna book, and he was his own Krishna book, his own words, of course, Guru Mukha Padma Bhakya, the words coming from Krishna, and he was just becoming delighted in hearing these things. So there was a certain amount of spiritual pride. And here's another instance where Prabhupada was proud of what was happening in his Krishna consciousness and proud of his disciples. He said, Jewish and Christian families have joined this Krishna conscious movement. Before joining, they never regarded any principles of religion seriously. But now they've become sincere devotees of the Lord. Everywhere people express this astonishment, and we take great pride in the transcendental behavior of our students. So you're going to be proud of the devotees, you can be proud of the Krishna consciousness movement. So we're not, even though we're not on the platform of experiencing these Sanchari Bhavas, Sanchari of course means a Vyabhachari Bhava, intermittent ecstasy that permeates the body. Even though we're not on that platform, we can have pride in certain things, such as our spiritual master, pride in the Krishna conscious movement. We can take pride in the deity worship here. So this is permitted. But if the pride is actually in our own intelligence, strength, knowledge, birth, or any of these, you know, beauty, then this is a detriment to devotional service. So any questions or comments? Yeah. Yeah, pride in Krishna. Pride in Krishna, pride in Prabhupada, pride in the devotees, yes. Well, if you think you're the best, like it's a question of thinking, wow, the deities, you know, we dress the deities very well today, therefore I'm the best. So in other words, it's a difference, like when we teach empathic communication, between the observation and then designating yourself, starting to think of yourself as better or best because of that. It's all about Krishna. And understanding it's Krishna acting through you. Like Prabhupada, when he was proud of the Krishna conscious movement and proud of the books, he understood it was Krishna doing it. He didn't think it was himself. Ms. Krishna was empowering him. Like when you get praise, like sometimes spiritual masters, they get praise. They actually understand it's their guru and Krishna who's acting, and they're just like the ambassador for a country. Like Prabhupada said, the spiritual master accepts respect, like the ambassador of a country accepts respect as a representative, not for himself. So, any other questions? With what? Gratitude, yeah. Yeah. Gratitude. You know, Krishna is really wonderful, and I'm full of gratitude that Krishna has made me realize that, yeah. So anyway, so this is one of the emotions that a Akrura was experiencing. So, one more question, yeah. Oh my God. Krishna takes it away. She said Krishna smashes it. I said Krishna takes it away. It may not be a smash all the time. Yashaham mehu ishe tadanam shanai. For those who I favor, you know, I take away things so they're actually just... sometimes Prabhupada quoted that verse like their friends and relatives reject them. And then all they can do is chant Krishna's holy name in humility. Trinadapi sunichina. Don't worry about smashing. If something's an impediment, it's not. If it's not an impediment, Krishna's not going to take it away. You understand? If one is proud, let's say if someone is very proud of their beauty, and that pride is an impediment rather than thinking that, you know, Krishna's giving me this body and I have to use it in Krishna's service. But if they're thinking this is me and this is mine, then Krishna will actually arrange to take that away. But not that every case, it's not that in every case, whatever you have, Krishna's going to just smash you and take everything away. It's only when the things that are impediments in devotional service. Any other questions? No. That's right. Yeah, I don't like to even like the word smash, you know. Yeah. I don't like the word smash. I mean, Krishna takes away things that are impediments. That's all. And if it's not an impediment, then Krishna doesn't take it away. He doesn't smash you. I mean, even though I use that word. Yeah, I mean, and we have to really want to be Krishna conscious, too. If we don't want to be Krishna conscious, then Krishna may let us just, like, stew in our material condition. Jai, Radha Galupananda ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. No smashing. Krishna Prastaya Bhutalai Bhakti Vedanta Saminiti Namitai Thank you. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Hare, Brahma, Hare Brahma, Brahma Brahma, Hare Hare. Paramahansa Paramahacharya also Tata Sadashi Shimad, His Divine Grace Abhaya Chandanada Bhaktivananda Goswami Marshila Prabhupada Ki Jai Iskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Anantakoti Vaishnav Vrinda Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Kailas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Se Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shweta Gadadha Shiva Siddhi Gaur Bhakta Vrindi Kajai Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopi Gopinath Sayam Kunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Kajai Vrindavanam Kajai Maturadam Kajai Jagannatha Swami Kajai Yamunamai Kajai Shivadi Lasi Devi Kajai Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi Kajai Gaur Premananda Happy Hari Bol. All glorious the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Sai Krishna. Stasis what they even stasis in the body posterity. Shikshashtaka. Kai Ravi Chandrika Vitharanam. Javadu Jivanam.
Rapidani, Nita, Smarane, Nakala, Eita.